The National Jazz Festival is underway in Tauranga. It runs through till early April. Many fine acts and much fine music. April Phillips has created a musical play about Frank Sinatra. It's called Blue Eyes. Old Blue Eyes was one of Frank's numerous nicknames. This was originally staged many years ago at Circa Theatre, and April appeared in that first production and made an album off the back of it, which sold well and raised $12,000 back then for the Make-A-Wish Foundation. Fantastic. April's an actor, writer, singer and producer living in Wellington. She's in the Retro Pack trio with Andrew and Kirsten London. And you'll have gathered by now that April can sing Sinatra as well.
Some others I've seen might never be mean, might never be cross, try to be boss, but they wouldn't do for nobody else. Gave me a thrill with all your faults. I love you still. It had to be you, wonderful you. It had to be.
April Phillips is joining us. She won't be singing in the new production of her play Blue Eyes for the National Jazz Fest at the 16th Avenue Theatre in Tauranga. It starts at the end of this coming week. Good morning, April.
Hi, Jim. Thanks very much for having me.
It had to be you, sung by you. What was the occasion for that? Because Frank sang that song too, didn't he?
He did. It was one of many jazz standards and American songbook songs that he made famous. He had lots of signature tunes, actually, and it's a favourite one of mine to sing when I do gigs. Yeah.
So you know your way, as they say, around Frank's songs. So your musical play Blue Eyes, the director is Merv Beats. Tell us about the concept, please.
I bought a compilation of Frank Sinatra CDs. It was something like a six-pack of CDs, and there were so many beautiful songs in it. And as you know, Frank Sinatra's songs and the way he sells a song, they're very dramatic sometimes. They lend themselves to telling a story. And I would sit and listen to this collection of CDs, and the story kind of just evoked in my head somehow. And I describe it not as a musical, but as a play with music in it. And so it's kind of got two parallel stories. There's an actor who plays the character of Frances, and she's at her parents' home going through some of her late mother's personal effects. She discovers an old diary, which is in the form of letters written to Frank Sinatra. And this is a surprise for our character, Frances. For the first time, she realizes that her mother had been a singer in the 1960s, singing in speakeasy clubs. And so as the play goes on, it alternates between Frances reading these letters that her mother wrote and discovering these things she didn't know about her mother, alternating with flashbacks to the mother singing in the band in the speakeasy club. And as the play goes on, you get all these little tidbits of information about what was going on in Frank Sinatra's life, some of the highs and the lows, and some of the personal relationships he had with beautiful movie stars. There were a lot of lows, there a lot of things that when I was researching, I didn't know about Frank Sinatra. It's a very moving story. It's got an ending that when I see a production of this play, it still brings me to tears. And then it's got all the fabulous music, and it's got a great uplifting ending with one of his big band songs. So it's got a bit of everything. So there's only actually one actor who plays the lead role of Frances reading the letters. And then you've got a band on stage playing the music.
So, and singers.
Yes, singers and musicians. And I've got my favourite theatres that I've built a relationship up with over the years. One of them is the 16th Avenue Theatre, and director Merv Beats, who are producing this particular show, and I know it's going to be absolutely brilliant.
What do you like most about Frank?
He had so many personas. He was an actor, he was a singer, there was that whole maybe connection with the mob. There was the whole Las Vegas thing. There was the Rat Pack. He was known as Old Blue Eyes, the Sultan of Swoon, the voice. It's the way he sold songs. He didn't just sing a song. He told a story. He had that gorgeous tone, of course, but and he worked with some of the greatest arrangers like Nelson Riddle and Don Costa and Quincy Jones, and he was able to take jazz standards and cross over into the pop charts, which is, that's no mean feat, you know. But his musical interpretations were emotive, and maybe that was the actor in him that helped him to do that. They were at times sexy, lonely. You know, you get a song like One for My Baby, One More for the Road, you can just picture him sitting at a bar with a glass in his hand, sassy, defiant. He had an arrogance, a cockiness about him, which was kind of roguish, so you liked it, you were drawn to it. Some of his interpretations have a troubled, tormented tone to them, and cheeky. So I think that's what draws me, and I think being an actress as well as a singer, it elevates a song above being just a melody and an arrangement to something that you really feel.
We forget what a sensation he was when he was young, don't we? The Bobby Soxers swooning in the streets. We're talking with April Phillips, and the show is Blue Eyes, which she's written. When you read about the cultural effect Frank had, it was considerable. Looser clothing styles, for one thing, so the young people paved the way for baggy jeans and baggy sweaters, I think, and everything that came later, you can argue. And the Bobby Soxers, who wore the socks called Bobby Socks, they were the generation that made corporate America aware of a whole new market for clothing and music and entertainment. And they were the generation, or the subset of a generation, who hit the dance floor too, and who proclaimed their buying power and the spending power for women. So Frank actually kicked quite a bit off, wittingly or unwittingly. He was a cultural force, a big cultural force back then.
Yeah, I mean, imagine if he was still around today with our social media, our digital world. You know, he had this massive influence in an age where we didn't have social media, we didn't have Instagram and TikTok. So,
yeah, all that cut through that he achieved without social media, without the benefit of that. There was a magazine. I was reading that there was a magazine called 17. Which was launched in 1944 while the war was still on, to cater to teenage girls, and it published letters from them saying they wanted more articles on dating and being shy and other adolescent preoccupations. They said, one quote was, "Stories like those on atomic energy are very boring." So they wouldn't they wouldn't have gone to see Oppenheimer. They would have gone to see Frank and From Here to Eternity, I think.
Yeah, totally.
So his phrasing is always talked about. You talked about him being, you know, being able to tell a story, and we understand that. He also really coped with his changing voice as he got older. Would that be fair? Because he started off as a sweet tenor. As you say, he was called The Voice, and he was a big heartthrob. And then the voice got a bit lower and gnarlier as he aged. But he worked his way around.
That was probably hard life and smoking and drinking in addition to age, because, you know, that happens.
He worked his way around that with a lower register, and that probably led him into telling those stories, if you know what I mean.
Do you think? The phrasing is interesting. I think it's something that you can't really learn. There would be nuances and lights and shades and a phrasing that didn't necessarily follow the way the melody had been written. And that's, I think, because he was feeling the story, he was living the lyrics, he was bringing that emotion into it.
So the musical play Blue Eyes, which is what we're talking about with you. April Phillips is our guest, in case you've just joined us. So the drama in Blue Eyes is that as Frank's life unravels in the telling on stage, the life of the mothers does too, and maybe the daughter's relationship with the mother who's gone?
Without giving away too many spoilers, reading the letters that her mother wrote to Frank, our character Frances learns things about her mother and her father that she didn't know.
Oh.
So she sees her mother in quite a different light. It's very warm, and the songs that float throughout the play are just they're beautiful, and it's multiple singers, so you've got different voices, male and female voices singing the songs and harmonies, and they just help to tell this story.
April, we've asked our audience for their favourite Frank Sinatra song among his many famous songs. We've run a poll. What would yours be, out of interest?
If I had to choose a favourite, it would be That's Life, which was written by Dean Kay and Kelly Gordon and first recorded in 1963. It's got an uplifting message that despite the ups and downs in life, one shouldn't give up, but stay positive because soon you'll be back on top. Lyrics like, "You're riding high in April, shot down in May. Each time I find myself flat on my face, I pick myself up and get back in the race." And he sings it with such attitude and swagger, and it's got that drivey chorus. I've been a puppet, a pauper, a pirate, a poet, fabulous BVs, a really big ending. It's Sinatra at his Vegas showman best. And for me, it really resonates because I feel like my own life is a real roller coaster, and I kind of just hang on and hope the train stays on the rails and the seatbelt works and that the ups last longer than the dips. So, yeah, that's life.
Well described, well described. I might try and fit it in later in the morning. Hey, lovely to talk with you, and all the best for Blue Eyes and the rest of the season.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
April Phillips.